I just have a very short devotional to share with you this morning, it's about promises. Do you like promises? I was thinking about that question, do you like promises? And I thought to myself, you know, I'll bet a lot of people just don't even like promises, because promises have been broken so many times. And so when somebody says something about promises, one of the lines that comes to my mind is, promises, promises, promises. But there is one who never breaks his promises. The scripture says, the Lord is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? And of course, those are rhetorical questions, and the answers are no. God never speaks and fails to act. He never promises and then fails to fulfill. Psalm 145 says the Lord is faithful to all his promise and loving toward all he has made. And I just want to share with you a couple promises that come to us. Inanimate objects sometimes can speak more than you and I can. You know, when you look at these flowers, they speak of great beauty and they speak of just the awesome creativity of God. Well, another inanimate object that can speak is the empty tomb. And I'm going to give you some promises that come from the empty tomb, just three of them this morning. And the first promise is this. The empty tomb gives us a promise of life after death. Corinthians says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep. Now, I want you to think of that word, first fruits, and you know what it is. I can remember, you know, my favorite vegetable is probably cucumbers. That seems odd, but I can eat cucumbers until I begin to smell like one, you know. And I can remember every summer when the first cucumbers were ready in the garden. And I would go out and get them. And I knew that what that meant is there are many more to come. Well, Jesus is the first resurrected. And by being called the first fruits, it means there is more to come. That those who are dead in Christ will be raised from the dead to be with him forever. That's important to me personally, because I don't want to spend my life apart from God. I mean eternity apart from God. And I don't want to think that these few years is all there is. I want to think that there's something beyond these years, because sometimes these years aren't the best years, you know. I want to think there's something beyond the grave. And it's important to me for the sake of my loved ones. I am so looking forward to seeing people who have passed on and gone before me. Won't it be great to be reunited with old friends? I want to see Esther, after whom we named our daughter. I want to see my father again. I want to meet some grandparents that I never knew. And the promise of the empty tomb is that there's life after death. A second promise of the empty tomb is a promise of reward. The empty tomb just doesn't say there's something after death. It tells me that there's a reward beyond the grave because of what Christ did there. You know, the Christian life is a life of sacrifice. It is a life where you give. Jesus poured out his life over and over again. And when he gave, he would say, this is what I'm looking for my followers to do. You remember the night before he went to the cross, he demonstrated that clearly when he washed his disciples' feet. And in washing those feet, he said to those men, do you see what I've done? This is the kind of behavior I want you to exhibit. Sacrificial behavior. If you tithe, you know the Christian life is sacrificial. One day early in my Christian life, when Laurel and I were married, I just took a look at our finances and I realized over the past year, I guess the church had given us a statement or something, what percentage or how much of our finances we gave and what that totaled to. And I thought to myself, I might have been able to buy a pretty nice motorcycle with that money. But I sacrificed and continue to do so because I'm a follower of Christ. You sacrificed this morning coming out to church at this early hour. You sacrifice your time when you work on a building or when you teach children or when you do Bible school or organize that, when you lead a Bible study, or when you just go and visit with someone who's lonely, maybe a widow in a congregation or a neighbor who doesn't know God. That is all a sacrifice of time. And the empty tomb promises that there's a reward beyond that. Paul's writing again to the church in Corinth, and in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, each one of us to receive what is due him for things while done in a body, whether good or bad." I don't like the whether good or bad part of that. I don't like to think of when I'm standing before Christ, he's going to say, "Hey, what about that thing?" But I know that when that happens, if that happens, I will plead the blood of Christ and trust his mercy. But what I do like is the good part. I like the idea of hearing him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The empty tomb promises that that's going to happen. And the third promise of the empty tomb is a promise of reunion. There's an old hymn that says, "When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me." And that's true. Just being with Jesus will be enough. Ah, that'll be glory for me. When by his grace I can look on his face, that'll be glory for me. But there's a line in that song that's really cool. It says, "Friends will be there I have loved long ago." Evidently, the people who lived in a little area called Thessalonica, pretty big area, they were worried about, what about the people who died? Are we ever going to see them again? Where'd they go? Is there any reunion scheduled? If they're dead, how am I ever going to see them again? I'm glad they asked those kinds of questions. Because in 1 Thessalonians 4, that question is answered. It says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep." That means those who die. Because the very next phrase he says, "or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus all those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." I love that. I love that when it says, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them. A reunion. Being reunited with friends who have gone ahead of us. Those are promises from the empty tomb. And you can hang on to those. You can trust in those. That is what Easter is about. You understand those promises apply to individuals who have personally received Christ as their Savior. If you're not sure that you've done that, this morning during the worship service, we're going to talk about that more in depth. I hope that if you have done that, that you'll be praying for visitors who might be coming to our worship service, that their hearts would open to Christ and they would find eternal life. Okay, you paying attention? We're going to rehearse one more time. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Great. Let's pray, and then we'll go and enjoy breakfast together. Can we stand together? Father in heaven, we thank you for the promises of the empty tomb, that we can trust in you, and you are faithful to your promises. We look forward to reward. We look forward to being with you. We look forward to reunion with old friends. May we live lives that are worthy of our calling, as Paul says in Philippians. May we demonstrate our relationship with you by the way we behave. And I pray, God, that you will bless our service later this morning and use it to open people's hearts to a saving relationship with you.